When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Sentinel Online. Now loading the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts.
Good brain here. I like listening to TuneCast while trying to take over the world.
Courageous and faithful and friendly, with service to care for chorus. They sing out in chorus, marching along as their song fills the air. Bounty bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventures beyond compare, they are the Tiny Bears. Part of their history, along with the secret of gummy bear juice. The legend is growing, they try and learn. Whatever they do, gummy bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere. I adventure that we uncompare, they are the gummy bears.
Hey, wait, this isn't Chicken Pot Pod, this is TuneCast. Welcome to the 55th episode of TuneCast, like I said, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve Joe Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson and our special guest, Christopher Stapleton from Chicken Pot Pod. Hello, guys.
Hey! What's shaking?
At least that was better than the last time you tried to do one of those.
I got enough practice. I'm good.
Well, yeah, you say it at the beginning of every episode of Chicken Pot Pod.
I do.
Today we will be doing, we'll be talking about the Adventures of the Gummy Bears, or Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears. What's been going on with you, Chris?
Just dropped another episode, and so we've been busy, busy, busy. So lots of irons in the fire.
Yeah, at least you're not dropping on Tom's head.
No, I'm not.
What about you, Kevin? What have you been up to?
I'm just continuously doing a lot of outdoor work at my house since I didn't have a chance to when I moved in last fall because of the weather. But the newest thing going on that I got going over at BehindTheVoiceActors.com is, like I said in a couple episodes already, a new top 10 list out, top 10 animated duck roles. And then the next two voice compare sections I'm working on is with Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is kind of a big project because about 11 people have done his voice, and working on getting some Alvin and the Chipmunk voice compares out. So those are the next things that I'm working on.
How the hell does Chipmunks have voice compares if it's only the father and the son that originally did the voices?
You have the father in the Alvin show, you have the son and Janice Carmen in the Alvin and the Chipmunk show, and then you have all new people that did them in the live action.
Okay.
Since they're CGI, they're still voice actors.
I understand that. I was thinking to myself, how the hell, okay, whatever. Not much has been going on with me. Actually, the show that we're going to be talking about today, shouldn't mention this, but we tried doing this like a week ago, and it seems every time I go to record a podcast, I am plagued by technical difficulties, and I have no idea why, but I think it's all Kevin's fault. He's jinxing us, him and his non-internet connecting ass. I actually ordered gummy bears off of Amazon. By the time this airs, it'll be a few weeks. But I ordered it the other day, and it'll actually, I was hoping to get it here today before we started recording the show, but it'll be here tomorrow, so that's a good thing. And I'm assuming you don't have a script, Kevin.
Correct.
We've gone a whole week without recording this show, and he still can't have a friggin' script. It's freaking believable. So, going into the...
I haven't got my app connected to the internet yet.
Well,
I don't know if I'd have to want
you work in a freaking high school. High school has to be connected to the internet.
I don't want my ass connected to the internet.
Yeah. Is that Ethernet or what? What kind of?
No, it's Acernet.
I got it. Okay. You just picked that up at Best Buy, or do you actually have to go?
No, you have to go to the defunct Circuit City.
Okay. I don't know if you have to actually go to a proctologist or what was involved there.
Okay, then. Going into the history lesson here, Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears is an American animated television series that aired in the United States in the mid-1980s through the early 1990s. The series was the first animated project by Walt Disney Animation Television and loosely inspired by the Gummy Bear candies. Disney CEO Michael Eisner was struck with inspiration for the show when his son requested the candies one day. The series premiered on NBC on September 14, 1985, and aired there for four seasons. The series moved to ABC for one season from 89 to 90, and concluded on September 6, 1991, as part of the Disney Afternoon Television syndication package. Of the series' 65 shows, 30 were double features, consisting of two 11-minute cartoons, thereby bringing the series whole to 95 distinct episodes overall. The show is well remembered for its theme music written by Michael and Patty Silverschier. The series was later rebroadcast on syndicated Disney Afternoon block and rerun on the Disney Afternoon through the summer of 91. In the later years, it was shown on the Disney Channel and Toon Disney. It was most recently televised airing occurring on Toon Disney on December 28, 2001. Wow, 10 years ago, 9 years ago. Seasons 1 to 3 of the series were released on DVD on November 14th, 2006. So let's get into some general memories of Gummy Bears. Kevin, why don't you go first?
I remember watching the show. I mean, I don't remember like all the details of it from when I was a kid, but I do definitely remember seeing the show. It was on for a number of years. Obviously, being one of the first things on Disney, it's kind of what brought me over to Disney, you know, and led to other cartoons I would watch later on, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But I just like the I remember the theme song. The theme song is just ridiculously awesome, so I remember that basically by heart since I saw it in the 80s. That theme song has never left me, and I just like a lot of shows, when you have a variety of characters to choose from, it's much easier for me to get into the show than if you only have a couple. I mean, there's lots of cartoons where you basically have three or four, maybe five or six characters to choose from, and that's all you're left with for choices. And Gummy Bears is one of those where everybody should have been able to find a character they could relate to or a favorite character, because there's so many different, you know, Gummy Bears plus villains plus humans and everything going around there. So, you know, I wouldn't be able to tell you without having watched a few of these recently, plot lines and stuff like that, but I definitely remember watching it when I was a child.
Yeah, so how about you, Chris?
I've never seen it. I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never heard of it. It's a candy, right?
You know you're going to serenade us with the theme song eventually.
It could happen, actually. I remember 85 when it came out. I actually distinctly remember catching it pretty early on. Previously, to see anything Disney, you actually had to have the Disney Channel, which my parents aren't Bill Gates and whoever he's married to. But so I didn't have the Disney Channel. So this was kind of the first venture Disney into my television, and I flippin' loved it. I was bouncing here and there and everywhere myself.
Yeah, you know, I remember, you know, it's funny. I vaguely remember cable in the 80s other than HBO. HBO is pretty much what we really watched in my household for the most part as far as cable networks. And I remember watching this show, but I remember nothing about the Disney Channel back then. It's not like today where you turn it on and it's either Phineas and Ferb or...
Right.
you know, oh God, that new show they just started, Good Luck Charlie, or, you know, stuff like that. I have no recollection of the Disney Channel back then, but I do remember seeing this show, and I do remember really enjoying it. And, you know, like Kevin said, the theme song, and you said, Chris, the theme song is just awesome.
Oh, it is, yeah.
I'm going to set that as my ringtone eventually.
You better. if you do that, no matter who's calling you, you're happy about it.
Right.
This is the IRS. I'm happy to hear from you. Thanks yeah. for calling.
Thanks for letting me hear my ringtone, click.
I like the serendipitous story of Eisner's kid popping gummy bears. I mean, it could have been any candy at all.
Could have been Beetle Worms.
I know, we could be sitting here singing, Raisinettes! They're covered in chocolate and the raisins. I mean, we could have been completely a different story here, or Swedish Fish or something. But it's kind of a cool story, I think. The one thing Eisner did well.
What if they were sour gummy worms? How would that change things?
That's basically Gruffy, I guess.
You know, just moving into the characters and the voice actors here, I did watch, because I put a call out on Twitter earlier this afternoon before we started recording this, if anybody knew anywhere to find some Gummy Bears episodes without having to go search for them on YouTube, because when I search for them on YouTube, I get crappy results. It's mostly people, you know, rehashing the theme song or, you know, doing some video montage that they have no right to do. You know, talk about copyright infringement. But, you know, several people gave me several links, and I did see the very first episode of New Beginning, and yeah. I remember the core group a lot more than I thought I did.
Yeah.
Zummy, Gruffy, Grammy, Sonny, Cubby, oh, what's the other one? Tummy, yeah. And Tummy, I believe, is the same guy that voiced Garfield.
Yeah, Lorenzo Music.
Yeah.
Peter Venkman as well, so.
Yeah.
He only has one voice. I mean, that's...
exactly.
It's his voice.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, just some of the characters, just to list them off here. You got, like I said, Gruffy, Zummy. Gruffy, Zummy, Grammy, Tummy, Sonny. Those are, and Cubby. Those were the main. Those are the original crew. And then, of course, you added like Augustus and whoever else. Gummies of Gummadoon. I haven't gotten that far in the show to even know who half these freaking people are. you know, first of all, I'd like to bring up Grammy because, holy crap, it's June Foray.
Yeah, and they name an award after that character. That's how much influence this show has on pop culture.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the Grammys, and so... it's a powerful cartoon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, June Foray is fantastic. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, she's legendary.
Yes. You know, there was part of me when I was watching some of the episodes, and again, once I get the DVD set, I'm going to actually do a whole marathon and watch them all the way through just to do so. But I was half expecting the Witch Hazel laugh a couple of times out of Grammy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There are some nods, though. I mean, she does kind of hint around. It's kind of tongue in cheek through the series.
Yeah,
yeah.
And honestly, when we originally tried to record this episode, when we were talking about Zummy Gummy, I honestly did not remember who the hell he was. But he's the one that's like the purple. He's dressed in purple and blue, and he's basically Grandpa Gummy.
Yeah.
It's basically what he is. He's the elder. And I really, really enjoy it. I, you know, honestly, I don't think there's a bad character in this original core group at all. You know,
totally agree.
They all have their individual personalities. They all have their individual things. Gruffy is a little, but he comes around. You know, there really isn't, you know, she's pretty much that tough guy with the I guess you could say ooey gooey center, but that would kind of be stretching it. But Kevin, who are some of your favorite gummies?
Well, it works out perfect that you just mentioned that. Gruffy's actually my favorite. And I've said it before, you know, when talking about this, but, you know, it's kind of like that whole, I won't compare it completely to Care Bears, but when you're surrounded by so many people that are basically have these, you know, good, fun, loving personalities, it's kind of, I always kind of like that contrasting character, and that's where I see Gruffy coming into, and I think he added a lot to the series by being that kind of tough, you know, well, Gruffy character, basically.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, you know, I always liked him. All the other ones, I mean, I didn't dislike any of them, but for some reason he stood out a little for me.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? Who would be your favorite out of the core group of heroes?
I probably identify most with Cubby as a kid, but I'd say Tummy would be my favorite. And I think part of it is it's just a fun-loving kind of, you know, foil character. I liked him. I thought he was a lot of fun. So, and I like Lorenzo music. So, if I was an animated cartoon, I would want his voice, which would be difficult now he's passed away. But you know,
yeah, unfortunately, you know, we got to talk about it. I'm going to have to really look at the not Zummy, but like Gruffy. When I get the DVD set, I'm going to really have to look at, because the first three seasons are on the DVD set, I'm going to have to really look at season one and season two, because Bill Scott originally voiced Gruffy, and then it switched to Corey Burton from seasons two to six. So I'm going to really have to see what the differences are between the two, because I honestly don't remember anybody switching, you know, or getting recast.
I think there was one other one that was Jim Cummings.
Yeah, but he did, where is it?
I think it was Chummy Gummy, and there was somebody else that did his. I can't remember who the other voice actor was, but there was somebody else that did that.
Jim, well, it lists under Zummy, Paul Winchell was seasons 1 to 5, and then Jim Cummings was season 6. So Winchell was, at least through the first DVD set, Winchell was the voice of Zummy for the majority of the show, and then Jim Cummings replaced him in season 6, so until seasons 4 through 6 come out on DVD, we'll never know. Some of the human characters, I going back watching them, I really remember Kevin, and Princess Calla, King, yeah, Sir Gawain can kiss my ass. I don't like him at all. Sir Gawain to me is pretty much Sir Kay from The Sword and the Stone.
Exactly.
I hate that guy.
Yeah,
I hate them both.
I think you're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. He just no. So out of the humans, Kevin, who did you like?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think Kevin's the one that's easiest to like. I mean, I didn't have anything against Princess Calla. I didn't, obviously, you know, the bad guys are bad guys for a reason. You're not supposed to like them, even though I a lot of times do. But I didn't care for too many of the humans that were bad. I mean, I think they did, you know, I think they added a lot, obviously, to the series. But obviously, as a kid, I'm not going to like a lot of the bad guys in this one. But, yeah, I think just Kevin stands out to me.
Yeah, and then, you know, as far as the villains, we can talk about Igthorn and the ogres, but other than that, all the other, like, write-off villains or side character villains, they have no real even place, maybe outside of Lady Bane, who was voiced by Tress MacNeille. Wow, they have characters named Gad and Zook. Oh my god. Oh Christ. That's 50, funny.
$50 says that was an Eisner thing.
Probably so.
We should mention Toadie too.
No, yeah. Well, we will. I was going to start talking about Igthorn first, because he is the main overall villain. He reminds me of an animated version of Sheriff of Nottingham, but an animated version from the dude that played him in Men in Tights.
Who was that?
I'm not even going to look it up because my computer will end up going apeshit, but oh god, who was it? I don't know, but he, just the way he looks, the way his character design, it just reminds me the hell out of the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh, that's a guy. I know who you're talking about. I know who it is. I don't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either.
I know
Richard Lewis was Prince John, but I don't remember who played the sheriff. Anyways, Kevin, what did you think of Eggthorn?
I mean, he was all right. I never really, I don't know. I didn't. I guess if there's one thing that I can fault Gummy Bears, I can't really fault them for it, but if I want to be super picky, for me as a kid, there was never that villain that just stood out to me like I was used to in so many of my action cartoons, which is kind of typical for more of a, you know, comedic, kid-friendly cartoon like this one was. I mean, you're not going to get like a Skeletor or a, you know, like a Mumra or a Monstar or a Megatron or something like that that just like super stands out and like just grabs your attention, you know, like that. But I didn't dislike any of the bad guys in this one. I don't know, none of them captured my attention like I was used to, I guess.
I want to point out to our listeners that Kevin listed Mumra before Monstar, so that just goes to show you subliminally he likes Thundercats better than Silverhawks.
I was going from worst to best, like a countdown.
Oh, shut up. Chris, yeah, what did you... whatever. Thundercats are better. Chris, what did you think of Eggthorn?
First of all, you're wrong. And secondly, I loved Eggthorn. Apart from snickering every time somebody called him Dookie, I thought he was a phenomenal villain. I loved him. I thought he's hilarious. He's just the perfect quintessential 80s cartoon villain. He's always up to no good, but he had some character flaws that always disqualified him. And I thought he was a great villain. Very, you know, he's one of those kind of very likable but detestable yin and yang kind of villains that I still think I look back on him as one of my favorites of the 80s.
Oh yeah. I completely agree. As far as his ogres, Duke Eggthorn's shock troops, big and strong but very stupid, they constantly call their master Dookie, much to his annoyance. Well, it's kind of like Beast Wars Megatron when Inferno calls him, "Yes, my queen!" I do wish he'd stop calling me that. They are organized in a way of military rank. You have Toadwort, also known as Toady, played by Bill Scott in Season 1, and Corey Burton from Seasons 2 to 6. The smallest ogre in Drekmore, and Eggthorn's lackey second in command. As his name suggests, he is a fawning and endearing character who mostly bears any bullying and punishment brought upon him by the Duke and his fellow ogres. Toady to me, when I was watching episodes today, Toady to me is the Gummy Bears version of Beast Wars Waspinator. Because he's always getting the brunt of whatever happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most of these sidekicks. We just did an episode 62 Chicken Pot Pod where we talked about cartoon sidekicks, and we talked about Toady. We also made fun of Snarf for quite a long time, but that's beside the point. But we talked about Toadwort, and I love this character. And most of these annoying, you know, small, imbecilic sidekicks are you know, you could do without. I think he's great. I think he and Duke Eggthorn, those scenes, every time they have a scene together, I'm captivated. You feel, like, sympathy for this character. There's an episode I remember distinctly where he sides with the gummies and helps them, and then based, you know, because of his loyalty, he goes back. I thought he was a very cool character. He was great with the other ogres being their the run of the litter and everything. So I like Toadie. I could be by myself, but I really like him.
No, I like him too. I don't know how Kevin feels, but I really like him. He's, you know, like I said, he's pretty much the Gummies version of Waspinator. So what about you, Kevin?
Well, I mean, he brought up cartoon sidekicks. I think that's one of the first things I think of when I think of Toadie. Is I think of, you know, somebody like Orko from He-Man, yeah, even though he was a good character. Someone like, you know, Snarf from Thundercats. There you go, Mike. You can be happy about that. But that being said, I agree, you know, with Chris that I wasn't annoyed by Toadie. Whereas, you know, some of those other ones, even though I liked them at times, you know, Orko was annoying at times. Snarf is super annoying at times. Whereas Toadie, I didn't get that from him. So even though he was still kind of filling that role, I think it was more of a, you know, it was easier to stomach than some of those other sidekicks.
Yeah, well, you know, Snarf was annoying from episode one, and he never stopped being annoying the entire series. That's the only bad part about Thundercats.
No,
yes.
It's not. That is a major bad part, but yeah, we could list a few others. But we won't go.
Yeah, we don't want Kevin to, you know, explode over his hatred for a certain cat.
Anyway.
I honestly, until I watch the series, I don't know if the first three seasons have any of these other side characters or the villains. I honestly don't remember any of them, so we're not going to talk about them. Because outside of the ogres and Eggthorn, I honestly don't remember any of these other villains that are listed. Moving into the production.
Real quick before you do that, I mean, I know we've mentioned a lot of them, but me being the voice actor guy, I just got to give a shout out to a couple people because this cast is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, just a couple of them. We mentioned, obviously, a few, like Corey Burton, Jim Cummings, one of his own music, et cetera. But you had Brian Cummings in this, who had done some very memorable roles. Papa Bear from Berenstain Bears, as well as Dr. Mindbender from G.I. Joe. You have, we just talked about June Foray. You have the veteran voice actor Bob Holt. Some of the best female voice actors in the 80s are actually all on this show, including, you know, Katie Lee, Tress McNeil, Cass Soucie, you have Alan Oppenheimer, you have, I gotta give a shout out to my boy Rob Paulson, and Paul Winchell, Gargamel from Smurfs, and then of course you have, both Peter Cullen and Frank Welker in this one, so he's just, and that's not even getting into a bunch of the other ones, so I mean, it's just an all-star cast.
Speaking of Paul Winchell and Gargamel, Chris, did you see the posting about Gargamel?
Yeah, I threw one up myself. Hank Azaria?
Azaria, Apu from The Simpsons, is going to be doing the live-action Gargamel, and he looks like a freaking sexual predator in that outfit. I swear to God,
it's perfect, though. Come on.
It brings Gargamel to life. It really does. It plays off of the animation model a little bit, but it makes him look like a freaking sexual predator. It really does. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I mean, even though that is, you know, sexual predators are bad, I'm not saying that they're not. But it just the way that the pictures look and the way that they were taken, it just, oh my God.
Who's to say Gargamel wasn't?
he did have Smurfette for a little while.
Well, we don't know what happened. You know, Johan, Pee Wee. We don't know what happened.
Oh man, that's a bad Catholic joke right there.
Oh my!
I mean, he's walking around like a cat lady in a giant turtleneck dress. He's not exactly playing with a full deck, man. I mean, you don't know.
Oh crap. Oh damn! Okay, going into wow, I never thought Tooncast could ever go dark, kind of like Beast Unleashed podcast does. But wow, that was pretty dark. So going into the behind the scenes segment, I really don't have anything as far as production notes, but I do want to talk about some of the directors and the writers. For the directors, the main name I recognize is Art Vitello. He was one of the original. Looney Tunes background artist, I believe. He had something to do with Looney Tunes. I've seen him on the Looney Tunes DVDs special features that I have. As far as the writers go, Rich Fogel, Mark Zaslav, Art Vitello. Let's see. Who else do I recognize here? That's Alan Burnett, Dwayne Capazzi. Just, you know, this show was very, very well written. And it wasn't like any other show. And, you know, we said it, you know, I said it in the history lesson. You know, this was Disney's first adventure into television animation. And this launched the trend for DuckTales, Darkwing Duck,
Rescue Rangers,
Tailspin. I was trying to think if Launchpad had a show. I was going to say Darkwing Duck and the Launchpad McQuack show.
He should have.
Yeah,
he
should have. Launchpad and Gizmo Duck. But anyway.
You're leaving a Bonkers, the Wuzzles, some awesome, really great.
Yes. Speaking of the Wuzzles, that'll be our next episode, and unfortunately, Chris vehemently declined to be on that episode.
I'm opposed to crossbreeding animals like that. I think that's
wrong. Dude, you're the one that brought up the theme in one of the Chicken Pot Pie episodes, and that's the only reason why it's on the TuneCast schedule, is because you reminded me of the friggin' theme. It's your own damn fault.
Well, I apologize for that, but I will not carry on with that conversation.
Going into the actual show, the basic premise for the series focuses on the escapades of the eponymous Gundy Bears, anthropomorphic bears who are the last remnant of once great civilization of gummies that fled the land centuries ago. When humans, jealous of the advancements and magical skills of the gummy bears, forced the species into exile, now regarded by most of the humankind as fairy tales, the show's main cast of gummy bears, six in the number at the onset of the series, increased to seven during the third season, live in the vast subterranean warren of Gummy Glen in the medieval kingdom of Dunwin. The gummies' modern adventures begin when they are discovered by a human boy named Kevin, who happens to have a gummy medallion found by his grandfather many years earlier. This is a very long overall story here for them, but just an awesome, awesome story. You know, the first episode sets it up. It sets it up great with Kevin meeting them, discovering that they're alive, with, you know, him and his whatever that, you know, Sir Kay knockoff asshole is. I swear, it's like Disney took the Sword and the Stone, the two characters from that. I mean, you know, Kevin and Wart are pretty much the same character almost in the beginning. And then, you know, they find something and this, that, and the other thing happens. But overall, you know, and I'll have to go back and when I go back and watch it, I'll have to see, like, how much actual episodic continuity is to it. But,
there really isn't any, just to butt in a little bit. I mean, this, even though this is what launches Disney, one thing it has different about it than most of the other ones that we mentioned is it's basically, there isn't, I mean, there's not a lot of continuity in this, and this one's more of a, you know, basically just a one-shot type thing. I mean, there is some storyline, but, you know, a lot of the other ones had more serialized plotline type thing, whereas this one didn't, if I'm remembering it right.
Well, you know, when I say with this show, you know, I agree with you, but when I say with this show, as far as continuity, I mean, you have, you know, they're not going to, you know, have this first episode and then have another, you know, the second episode have nothing to do with the first one. I mean, they're not going to take that whole story and just say, oh, this, they're not going to retcon like Marvel did Spider-Man deal with the devil my ass. Anyways, overall, great show. At least I thought it was. Great, great episodes. I don't think there's a single episode that people couldn't just sit down and watch it just for fun. Thank God this is not Care Bears, because Care Bears is like Elmira on sugar. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. Chris, what are your Kevin, what are your thoughts on the actual show?
I was just going to say, you know, I'm usually the type of person that in order for me to really like a cartoon or anything, there has to be basically an overall story arc that, you know, goes from the beginning of the series to the end. And that being said, this is one of the few cartoons that I think really pulls it off and is successful without doing that. You know, other ones that jump to my mind are, you know, comedic brilliant cartoons like, you know, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, and stuff like that. But this show did a really fantastic job of keeping your attention and keeping you entertained, regardless of the fact that, for me, that it wasn't necessarily like an overall story. I didn't need an overall story for this because the show was just good enough on its own.
I agree. What about you, Chris?
I think it's a ridiculous formula that probably shouldn't work, but it did. And so, I mean, truthfully, I mean, we're taking candy. We're introducing that candy. Hey, let's put it in medieval times. How's that sound? Cool. What do you like? I like ogres. Let's throw some ogres at it. Should we have a wizard bear? Sounds good. How about a mean one? Perfect. How about a how about some ripoff stuff from Sword in the Stone? I like it. Let's do it. And so all this stuff, and like we have these sort of ancient civilizations, almost Aztec kind of. I mean, all these kind of things that don't necessarily. Shouldn't work, and it was fantastic, and I thought the whole thing just had this great original feel, and there's nothing else like gummy bears, and so like all of the shows that Disney produced out of the success of it, none of them really followed that same formula at all, and they're all sort of departures. We see a lot of those, you know. You see DuckTales and Darkwing Duck and some similar things in other cartoons. Gummy Bear stands alone, and I think it's unique, and I think it's fantastic. It's my favorite of the Disney serials that they threw out there. So,
and I think one thing that it does that, you know, doing Tooncast now, we're in the, you know, our mid upper 50, you know, getting in there as far as number of cartoons we've covered, and usually with a cartoon. We will say, you know, oh, it has really good this, but it's lacking in this, or, you know, it's got really good voice cast, but, you know, the musical soundtrack to it, or, the, you know, that type of stuff is lacking. And with Gummy Bears, I think they hit on everything. You have music, not just the theme song, but music throughout is fantastic. You have a fantastic voice cast. You have a multitude of characters, whereas everyone can find somebody they like. You have... You know, the medieval storylines going into it. You have Disney animation, which is, you know, tends to be a little bit a step above some of the other animation that we were getting in the 80s and early 90s. So, I mean, you have just you have the humor, you have the action. They hit on everything, it seems like. I can't find, like, a specific area of the cartoon that we've, you know, as far as the areas we've covered, where they fall short. And I think that's why we haven't seen the same thing necessarily repeated, because it's very hard for somebody to get everything right.
Yeah, I agree.
I do too. So, moving into the music segment, are we getting serenaded tonight?
I'm not going to do that to your listeners. I want them to keep listening.
Oh, hell, if they're not listening now, they won't listen to the next 50-something episodes. But, no, the series original music was done by Thomas Chase and Steve Rucker. For a second there, I thought it said Darius Rucker. Wow, talk about a Hootie flashback. Ooh.
A whole different theme
sound now. That's almost like eating a sour Skittle. Yuck.
Or a sour gummy worm. Yeah. Gummy bears.
He said gummy worm.
They had those, yeah. That was an episode they cut where, you know, unfortunately Cubby got into some old gummy berries and got some gummy worms. And, yeah, gummy tapeworm.
Oh, God. You know, like you guys said, you know, like you said, Kevin, with, you know, they hit every mark on this show, and the music was as much a big, you know, a big part is everything else, and normally on Tooncast, there are some shows, especially those damn Transformers knockoff the GoBots, where it's like The only good thing about that show is the theme song, but with this show, the theme song just adds to the goodness of the cartoon.
Yeah, and you know, I have to bring it up since I've referenced it in, you know, every other or every third show that we've talked about. But you know, I'm so big on cartoon theme songs. I actually have two CDs that each have 50 to 75 cartoon theme songs that I've made myself that I'll just pop in on a random day just to listen to, because nothing can put you in a better mood than listening to a cartoon theme song. And I also have a list over behind the voice actors of the top 10 theme songs of the 80s. And, you know, it depends on what day it is and what mood I'm in, but I always have this one at either the best or the second best cartoon theme song of the 80s, if not of all time. And the only one that I can compete with it in my mind in the 80s is the Mysterious Cities of Gold theme song, which most people don't know. But this theme song, if I don't know how you could listen to this theme song and not be pumped up for whatever's coming next. It's just remarkable. It sets the mood and it gets you excited for. I mean, they didn't, thank God, but they could have thrown absolute crap on the screen and I probably would have watched it at least for a while just based on that theme song.
Oh yeah, I completely agree with that.
But I don't know. I can't. If anyone that says there's another theme song in the 80s that's better than this, I disagree.
Well, as far as Disney cartoons go, I think, you know, that they all have their merits. I don't think you can really stack this up to, you know, if it's cartoon theme songs of this genre, kind of like Tiny Toons or Animaniacs or, you know, something like that, but you can't match Gummy Bears up against friggin' Silverhawks or Thundercats or Transformers or G.I. Joe. You just can't. But if it's something in the same vein...
No, you can. You can do it. It's better than all those.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Those theme songs are not theme songs. Those theme songs are more just musical serenades. There's no song to it. This is an actual theme song.
Wings of Metal, Nerves of Steel, that's not a song lyric? Are you kidding me?
Talk about a horrible sidekick in Copper Kid.
I like Copper Kid.
Okay, Copper Kid, he's greater than Snarf, for sure. For some reason, we deemed Snarf a Luck Dragon turkey in our latest episode. I don't even know why he's a Luck Dragon turkey, but that's what he is.
Wow. I think the difference between this theme song is, you know, this theme song has, it has verses, it has chorus, it has, you know, all the musical parts of an actual song. I mean, a lot of those other ones have a little ditty, like, that you're trying to remember, but it doesn't have a full-out song like this one does. And
right.
I don't know, I just think this one stands up there way better than almost anything I've ever heard, like I said, with the exception of maybe Mysterious Cities of Gold, but...
Dreamcast will be back after these messages!
And you'll go for Cocoa Puffs while listening to Tooncast!
Hey, you're listening to Tooncast.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast!
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
Now back to Tooncast!
Alright, so, final thoughts on Gummy Bears. Kevin, why don't you go first?
Oh, well, I mean, I just think, like we were kind of talking about a little bit earlier, it's something that basically got everything right. You know, all the different aspects that you look for in a good cartoon, it got. And on top of that, you know, it was successful, being number one in its time slot for NBC for all four seasons it was there. So you had a good cartoon on all aspects, you have a successful cartoon, and you have a historically significant cartoon. And for me, that's the trifecta. So, you know, I don't think you can say anything bad about Gummy Bears. I don't think I could put it as my number one cartoon of the 80s just because I was such a, you know, into the action cartoons earlier, but I would say it's definitely at the top of somewhere. You know, I've never tried to do a top list because it seems like it'd be too hard, but it's earned a spot somewhere in the top 10, I would think.
Yeah, and it's funny, our favorite people, our top 100 animated list people, there was no information about that in the wiki. Fuck you, IGN. We love you for pimping out our Batman Arkham Asylum 2 exclusive, but fuck you when it comes to that animation list. Oh, damn. Chris, what are your final thoughts on the Gummy Bears?
for me, the litmus test, because I'm still I still watch this stuff. You know, it's not even just nostalgic for me, but I did get the DVDs. I really hope they release the remaining seasons. I haven't heard anything about it, but I hope they do. It holds up. I think the hold up factor for me is very important. And like Kevin and I were talking just a little while ago about Black Star from Filmation. It does not hold up. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's fun. It's nostalgic, but it has no, no value now. Gummy Bears, you watch it today, and it's better than 95% of what's on TV. You know, animation, the quality, the storylines, the plot, the characters, the whole bit, the voice acting. I think it's phenomenal. Stands up, holds up. I could watch it today all day. So if you've never seen Gummy Bears, then definitely find it somewhere and watch that, because it's phenomenal.
Have you brainwashed your daughter with it yet?
I haven't done Gummy Bears yet. I'm kind of slowly moving through my library, but it's coming. Believe me. she will not watch anything made in this decade. That's for sure.
Oh
my God.
Come on.
Including Phineas and Ferb.
Hey, shut up.
Yeah.
All right, it's plug time. Kevin, what's going on over at BehindTheVoiceActors.com?
Just basically lots of voice compares on a daily basis are showing up. So if you like to, if you like to look for your favorite character and see all the different people that have voiced them, and, there's polls for you to vote on which one does the best job. There's forums for you to discuss it with other people. So, everything from anime to video games to, movies like Land Before Time, and to, most of the ones I do are, of course, 80s and 90s classic cartoons like He-Man, Turtles, G.I. Joe, Transformers. So, go check it out, and I think you'll like the voice comparison section especially, but there's lots of other stuff to check out, too.
And, Chris, what's going on over with the chicken nuggets?
You know what we do.
You guys brutally torture topics. There's been a few shows where I'm like, wait, they didn't talk about what the hell? And I was like, viciously attack you guys on Twitter. It was like, okay, this is this. You guys get this wrong.
But it's entertaining.
No, I know it's entertaining. It was great. Even though I didn't stay for the majority of it, but I did catch part of y'all's very first live broadcast when you were doing the Coke and the Pepsi bit.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
It was a lot of fun, and we had a much better turnout, probably at least double the turnout I expected, so it was a lot of fun. So we're going to try and do that again and possibly this month. So I encourage you guys, if you want to check it out, it is a lot of fun. So the other guys are actually funny. I'm the straight man, so which isn't true. But it's a lot of fun. So a lot of the topics that we're talking about tonight, you'll hear there. So a lot of 80s fun pop culture stuff. So that's at chickenpoppod.com. It's a weekly podcast, and we are kind of dabbling with the live podcast deal as well. But we also have a spinoff comic book podcast called CPP Comics. So if you're into comic books, you got friends that are, you can check that out. That's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/chickenpoppod. And as if we didn't have enough going on, we're doing a wrestling podcast called The Folding Chair. So if you dig wrestling, are used to, we talk a lot about what's going on in wrestling and try to make it entertaining. So go to foldingchaircast.com, and all that stuff's linkable from our site, chickenpoppod.com. So check it out.
Four shows. Call me when you're running 11 simultaneously. Thank you very much.
No. I'm going to start a podcast just called Silverhawks is Greater Than Thundercats.
God. I wish you hadn't said that, because now I bet you like a million pages on Facebook are going to say, join us to get 1 million fans that Silverhawks are better than Thundercats. I hate those damn pages. Oh, God. I bet Kevin will start it, too.
Kevin, I'll host it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on Ooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can also join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, all of our shows, as well as Chicken Pop Pod and their shows. Please do that. That is the best way to help our podcasts grow, other than, pouring Miracle-Gro on them. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and Tooncast. Mine is TFG and Mike. Kevin, what is your Twitter?
Vox K Dog, VAWG at the end.
Yep. And Chris?
Silverhawks is greater than Thundercats is my Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. Chicken Pot Pod.
You can become a fan on Facebook of both of our networks. Search Geekcast Radio Network for us and Chicken Pot Pod for them. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be reminiscing on the Wuzzles, and we will be sure to tie Chris down so he can stay for that episode.
Never going to happen.
For now. Okay. Shut up, you bumble lion. For now, I am TF2 Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com
and Chris Stapleton from Chicken Pot Pod.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
We're in the land of words, they're having quite the fun. There's every single thing, it's really two in one. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And when you add it up, you get a lot of math. Ooh, they got originality. Driven with a personality.
We're the Wuzzles.
Ooh, yeah.
We're the Wuzzles.
Oh, yeah.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.